Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today's the fifth month, the seventh day in the year 2023, and it's the fourth Lord's Day after the resurrection, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice therein.
It's a feast day, too, of St. Stanislaus.
Pray for us.
But I want to make first things first. We got some good news. Brother Mateos is going to become a member of the church on Pentecost Day.
All right. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Let's give a Russian clap. All right.
Good. Good.
Amen.
Yeah. When we greet Putin when he marches into South Africa.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Coach Mars,
the
Mars, the big Russian parade.
Oh yeah, mate. They got all their parades going on.
But that's interesting. I saw a little bit of the King coronation.
Oh, sublime!
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You know, I got TJ made a good. See, we're going to talk about stuff.
Sorry.
No, but TJ made a good comment. And it's true. There's nothing like Christianity. Yeah. Now that's nominal Christianity, but their rites are Christian. Those are Christian rites.
Right.
And boy, did they do it up the right way. I mean, that's the way you should coronate a king.
Yeah.
And that's the way the Catholic Church used to coronate kings when they were in Europe. But they don't do that. They don't have kings anymore.
Right.
So you know, that was a really big blessing when you look at the words and you look at the power and you look at the glory. Even though they're nominal Christians, it's still, they got the Christian rituals. They're sublime.
Yeah.
Sublime. The music, the choir, the chorus. The gold, the grandeur, it's Christianity.
Yeah.
Nothing but, you know, our church on earth is supposed to represent heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not a little, I know they're still not in the church, but the rituals are Christian.
Yeah.
It's a touch of heaven.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It is sublime. I'm trying to get the whole thing. I got like 2 hours of it. I want to get the whole 6 hours. They show you outside when they're marching and how orderly they are. I mean, come on. This is of God.
Yeah.
The rituals are of God. The discipline is of God. Compare that to the Africans with bones in their noses and running around in cannibals and eating people. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, compare it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday? Go ahead.
We were TJ and I was talking about it yesterday when the ceremony was going on, and we were like, TJ was like, could you. Make a pledge, do you like kind of a British monarchy? And I was like, no, because you're the head of the church. One of the titles of King Charles now is head of the Church of England.
Mm-hmm.
So you could not, like, pledge allegiance.
What's your opinion there, Richard? Or even if he wasn't a head of the church,
you still have to pledge allegiance to him. The Jews, like Nebuchadnezzar, they said, King live forever. And they gave their allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar, and he was a pagan. You still have to give your allegiance to your rulers. We do in this country, too.
Right.
You have to pledge allegiance to your rulers, no matter what. That doesn't mean you're pledging allegiance to them as the head of the church.
Okay.
When a Jew said to Nebuchadnezzar, oh, king, live forever, they would say that to all the pagan kings, the faithful Jews, when they were in exile.
Right.
Oh, king, live forever. I pledge my allegiance to you. I give my loyalty to you.
And they have a prayer for him in Baruch.
And they have a prayer for him. And Baruch even. So, yeah, you still pray for him even. But you don't consider him the head of the church. But you're giving allegiance to him as your king, as your secular ruler. That's what he is. Not as the head of the church.
But you don't pay tithes. You can't pay tithes to that.
You don't pay tithes.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't have to either. They don't. They did in Ireland. That was the whole fight was over.
Yeah.
They stopped that.
Yeah.
They went crazy in Ireland. They went, I can't pay tithes to a church I don't belong to. That's heresy.
Yeah. 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 How long ago was that?
The Catholic politicians here at Irish politicians that became MPs, members of parliament, they couldn't take their seat because of the pledge. You know what I mean? They had to pledge allegiance to the throne, to the crown, to the Church of England. So even though they were elected representatives, they couldn't sit in their seats, you know? Like the hunger striker Bobby Sands was an elected MP, a member of parliament.
Right? Yeah.
But he was actually on hunger strike. But he couldn't take a seat in Parliament, obviously, but he couldn't have taken any because he wouldn't have sworn the pledge. Then we're talking about Brother William, if he swear a pledge in politics, no pledges loyalty to the American flag, et cetera, he can't do that.
And all things that are sin.
Yeah, you know, we can pledge allegiance to the United States and to their leaders. It all depends on how the pledge is worded.
Well, right. Exactly.
That's what matters. If the pledge is worded wrong, you can't take it. But if these Irishmen didn't want to give allegiance to the English king at all because they were rebellious against the people whom God put over them, then that's bad.
Right.
That's wrong. They should have never done that. If they were just... If it's a nationalistic thing where they go, I don't want no English king over me, then they were wrong. They committed a sin by not giving their allegiance to him. God says, obey all your rulers. Right. Give Caesar his due. They had to give allegiance to the pagan Roman emperors who were idolaters. They pay taxes
It does depend on the oath. You'd have to, like,
it depends on the oath.
I said there, I can only do the Constitution and all things that are not sinful.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would have to say
right.
that.
Right. With Dermot, what I'd like to find out, this is worth investigating.
Yeah. Totally.
Dermot can investigate and find out why did this guy not take the Irishman. What was the oath? Now, if the oath just said, I pledge allegiance to the King of England as my ruler and the throne, he can take that. But if he didn't want to take it because he's nationalistic, because he refuses to accept the yoke of the English, then he committed a sin. Yeah. That's a sin against God. God says obey all your rulers. St. Paul says it.
Yeah.
You're pagan rulers. God put them over you for you to obey them and submit to their authority.
But what if the oath added you have to accept
to the church?
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah.
No
good. King of the
that's
got to
go. Yeah. But they don't do that because they know they got all different religious people under them. That would create a conflict. See what they did in the Victorian movie at that period of time in Irish, that was an abomination.
Yeah.
And TJ mentioned it correctly. You fight for that.
Yeah.
We're going to fight. I'm not paying tithes to you. That's
right,
a heresy.
Right.
I'm not going to support a heretical church. Kill me. You fight for that.
Right.
But, see, any smart ruler knows you can't force people to belong to a church they don't believe in. Even Nebuchadnezzar, even when you watch the Moses movie, he says, I've never interfered with your gods. Mm-hmm. I always let you worship your own God. I didn't force you to believe in me. Because once you start doing that with people, then you're going to have disruptions in your society. People are going to start assassinating you. They're going to put up their own life on the line. There's nothing more important than religious zeal. But for what I understand, I don't think they're doing that anymore because they've got different religions. They've got Muslims, they've got Jews. In your societies today, even if we had a Catholic country, I'm not going to force all the Muslims to give allegiance to me as the ruler, but they have to pay allegiance to me as the secular ruler. They have to pledge that allegiance to me. I'm not going to make them pledge allegiance to the Catholic Church
because
they're not Catholic. Now, my suspicion is this. Some of these Irish nationalists didn't want the English over them no matter what. And they were rebellious bastards. They didn't submit to the yoke. If they had a good reason because the English tried to make them do something against their faith or tried to force them to sin, fine. Then you can even rebel and fight against them. If that's not happening, even if your conditions are kind of lowly because you can't rise up in their community, you have to accept that. You can't rebel against that. That's God's will. How many times the Jews were in exile?
As long as you're allowed to practice your religion freely. You know?
Yeah.
Even if you're under the yoke and
something
like
that.
But if you can still I can. And
they don't force you to get your religion simple. And even if you can't practice it publicly, but just privately, fine.
Yeah.
As long as you're not interfering with my religion, I can practice it. You're not forcing me to go against my religion or to sin.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, I have to pledge allegiance to the king.
Right.
I have to give my loyalty to him and fight for him. As long as he doesn't mess with me and my religion. And that's common sense. If you read the Bible, you catch that throughout the Bible. Look at the Jews. When they were, you look at Nehemiah and all them. Joseph, second in charge in Egypt. Daniel and the three wise, they were way high. They ruled. They were governors in pagan Babylon. Daniel. Governors.
Thebon Legion having to fight for Rome.
Mm-hmm. The Theban Legion was fighting in the pagan Roman army. And the reason they finally got martyrs is because they tried to force them to get rid of the Christian standard and carry a pagan symbol, and they said, no, that I can't do. So, yes, you have to give a leave. If God allowed the English to come in and take over your country, you got to accept that yoke. You want to get rid of it, pray for God to send a legal way to get rid of the yoke. Either you're going to convert the English, or you can have a Catholic country come in and go to war against them and take them over.
Yeah.
a war from some Catholic country to come in and take them over. But as long
and that way you can't fight for England. You know, you
can, yeah, then you can't.
Yeah, then you know.
Yeah, then you just stay neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the church will say, I can't fight because I can't fight against Catholics.
Right.
And then your religious ruler would say, in this case, I can't fight because they're my Catholic brothers.
Yeah.
Like David, remember David and the Philistines? Right. Yeah. David was fighting with the Philistines and defeating all the Philistines' pagan enemies. But this is weird, but when it came to fighting against the Israelites, even David said he was going to do that. But the Philistine says, we don't trust him. He's going to go over to the side of his brothers. So you learn a lot from just the Old Testament and the New Testament. You look at Christian kings, even Hitler. He had Muslims in his... you have different religious people. You got to conciliate to them. Mm-hmm. But just think what it would be like if... Because most countries are not solidly one religion. Even when Catholicism was at its height, Charlemagne, maybe you can have almost 90% of the people Catholic, but you still have non-Catholics.
Right.
And you can't allow the non-Catholics living in your empire to rebel against your authority. So that would be like to say, I'm in France, I'm the king of France, and 30% of the people are Muslims living in my empire, and they don't, but they don't have to submit to me as the secular ruler. They can do their own rules. So now we've got two laws going on. You got a Muslim empire within the Catholic empire. You can't allow that. It's chaos. Well, let's say you got the Muslims, 30% Muslims, 10% Jews, and the rest are Catholics in a Catholic empire, a Catholic country. They all have to obey the same secular law. They can't get off the hook by saying, oh, I'm not going to obey you because you're Catholic, a Catholic secular ruler. It's chaos.
Yeah.
Same thing with Charles. You got to pledge allegiance to him in all secular matters, no matter what you think about the guy. As long as the pledge of allegiance isn't heretical.
Right. Well, that's the dilemma I'm in right now for... Like when I had the now that I'm in the Republican thing, I didn't have to take an oath, but I told them if I want to attain office here, like it has to cater to my faith. Now, are they going to do that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Not only did Will tell him, he even told him what he could take and what he can't take.
Right, but I don't know if that's if a government like because my thinking was
well then we can't do it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I didn't tell him no.
Yeah.
If I got, and we already told
I told
them,
right, yeah.
They know. But
if there's a way to get around is what I'm saying.
Well, there already was so far, because you didn't have to take
it. No, I know, but I'm saying.
When you go higher.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Then if that's all. You cross that bridge when you get there.
Yeah.
And actually, if God's with you, he'll move their heart to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because, see, this is what the popes, that's how you can tell these sacrilegious popes.
Yeah.
They allowed us to take a heretical pledge of allegiance.
Yeah.
They could intervene. So do you want the Catholics to completely pledge allegiance to you in the United States? Fine. But do not put something heretical in the oath or they can't do it.
Right. Funny story. So yesterday, it was Julie, and I was getting ready for the parade and everything 2 days ago. And we're talking about what's going to happen at this meeting. And Barbara Pullman, she doesn't pledge to the flag. And this, and I said, Julie, I says, I don't do it either. that God isn't the true God. What do you mean it's not the true God? It's like, well, it's God. I said, yeah, but it's not the Catholic God. I said, there's only one true God, the Catholic God. I said, I can't do that, because it's, she was like she's a little at first, but I think but I mean, I wanted to tell her, I get it on the table,
Pearlman don't do it because she don't believe in
she's
God
a communist,
at all. But would you tell, I pledge allegiance, I can't put
I
God,
don't.
It's not under God.
Exactly, that's what I told
it's
her.
It's not
said,
under God.
She doesn't put her hand on the heart. I said, well, I don't either when I do the pledge.
That's
good. She was like, what? Yeah. The glasses came off.
Well, they didn't have the God part until 1950.
Exactly, that's what Eisenhower
did. See, this is interesting. Because even before 1950, these people that were running the United States understood you couldn't put God in there.
Right.
Because some people that believe in multiple gods, and one believes in this God, that believes in that God, some are atheists, so they left God out of it. In a Catholic country, you would have two pledges. You're more than two. And you look at, I studied this already.
Yeah.
Like in Poland, Catholic nation, they'd have one pledge for the Catholic people.
Right.
They'd have one for the Muslims, and they'd have one for, they'd have like three different pledges that different people can take, because the person who's a Muslim is not going to take the same pledge of allegiance as the Catholic.
Right.
So you accommodate to their beliefs.
Yeah.
That would be like Pharaoh saying, pledge allegiance to me as your God.
Yeah.
And when Nebuchadnezzar tried to do that with Daniel, the three Hebrew children, when he put the statue, their sack book, and he did all the symphony music, and he says, now you got to pledge allegiance to me as your God. They went,
exactly.
But before that, they were pledging allegiance.
Yeah.
King, live forever. Oh, my king, may you live forever. My king, I pledge my allegiance to you. I work in your government.
Right.
There were governors in his government.
Right. And the Caesars, and the Christians.
Caesars.
Nero,
we had all by Caesar. Yeah. Well, our Lord says, give Caesar his dough.
Right.
But that's interesting. Go ahead.
Is there any problem, ma'am, with them taking awards from the British Empire as such? There's specific awards handed out for outstanding accomplishments. You know, like the Order
of
the British.
Yeah, you can get those, yeah. You just like, because, look, think about that.
Member of the British, they get a gold medal.
Yeah, you can do that, yeah. Yeah, just like the D-Bond Legion, they had a lot of awards because they were good military men.
Right.
So they're or you get awarded with an office.
Right.
I mean, Daniel and the three Hebrew children were governors. Right. And Joseph, they were awarded with an office. Governor Joseph is second in charge in all Egypt.
Right.
How's that for being awarded an office? As long as the award isn't something to do with religion, you know, right. where something with the Anglican Church.
Well, look at Joseph. I mean, Pharaoh believed he was God. You know,
Pharaoh's
God.
God is Pharaoh. Yeah. Pharaoh's God. God is Pharaoh. And he's the governor.
Yeah.
As long, he didn't force Joseph to say it.
Yeah.
And Joseph was second in charge in all of Egypt.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can get awards. You can get medals for military valor. You can be generals. They only let you rise up so high, though, if you're Catholic. Only an Anglican can rise up to certain levels. That's already still built in. It's still built in. I don't know. It was kind of weird in England, though, because they got Muslim mayors. How did they ever allow that to happen? The mayor in London is Muslim.
Yeah.
How did that happen? And that's kind of weird. I don't agree with you. See, as a Catholic, we would never let that happen in the Catholic Empire. We'd be more strict than the English are. I say the only people that can attain to higher positions of office are Catholics.
No.
They're right about... See, the one part in the oath where he said... then he did get to the part where he says, I pledge to defend... And they called it the Protestant religion. They're not afraid to call themselves Protestant, which is kind of weird. You know? You should have said Catholic Church, but... then he has to pledge it. He's the upholder of the Church of England. He's the head of it. He's going to defend it. Right. So, of course, that's the pledge he takes. And if, of course, it's logical. If he didn't, they'd be hypocrites.
Yeah.
I said, then why call yourself an Anglican? See, it's kind of weird today because everything's ecumenical. But the Anglicans believe they're the one true religion in England, at least. We believe we are. Muslims believe they are. So if you're a Muslim ruler, you get up and you're a Muslim and you don't and you're like ruling the country and you're not saying I pledge to uphold Muslim laws, the Muslim religion, and he doesn't do it, then he's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to do that. And you're living in a Muslim country, and you expect it.
Yeah.
All you ask them to do is, go ahead.
Sorry, Richard, I was just going to say, on Michael Collins, you might remember from the film, he had to do the oath to the crown. Now, the thing is, if that was a sinful oath, and he had to pledge allegiance to the church, that makes him a heretic. But if it was a good oath, that means he did the right thing.
Correct.
Oath everybody else.
Exactly. You'd have to look at the oath he took.
Yeah.
Now, I know the Irish got it. See, it was just kind of weird. The Irish, who were paying tithes, a lot of them just became Anglicans. But that's a heresy. If you're paying tithes to the church, and if Michael Collins took an oath or he was pledging allegiance to the Church of England as accepting that as his church and all, I think he's a heretic.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. And I don't believe that they made him take that oath in. I don't believe that was in the oath. I studied the oaths because of the United States oaths. I wanted to find out what did they do in Catholic countries for people that were living in there. And I looked at oaths that were Catholics living in non-Catholic countries. And like in Poland when it became, not Poland, but like other countries became secular.
Right.
Or different kinds of religions. And then the Catholics would have their own oath that they can take.
Right.
So they wouldn't violate the faith. Now, generally... I think after that tithe war and all that, maybe the English wised up and said, we can't force them to pledge allegiance to the Church of England. They're Catholics.
Yeah.
We can force them to obey us and all our laws that don't go against their faith. But we can't force them to belong to our church.
Right.
We can't force them to pledge allegiance you can't force them to become Anglicans. And when you were even looking at that, their hope was that a lot of these Catholics, especially during the potato famine, remember the guy said?
Yeah.
If you come over to our church, we're going to have a lot of food for you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But you have to come over to our church. So they weren't forcing them. The tithe was bad. That's when you're you know. So I don't think Michael Collins had to take a heretical oath. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, even let's say for the sake of when I was in jury duty, it says I swear by Almighty God to tell the truth. I can say that.
Right.
That's my God.
Yeah.
I'm saying it for me.
Right.
So I know what that means.
Yeah.
Do you swear to God to tell the truth? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I understand that to mean my God.
Right.
If he said gods, I wouldn't have said it in plural or something like that.
Yeah. You swear to the Roman gods, Mars.
Yeah. No, I can't do that.
Yeah.
If it's just God, and it's, well, if I'm taking it individually, you can do that. But when the Legion says the United States is under God, and that's not correct.
It's the Messiah.
And so you would see, I can take, I'll pledge allegiance to all your rulers. We're doing that now, even, in your non-sinful laws, you know, and your non-sinful laws. We don't support the abortion law, all that. If you try to force abortion on us, we go to war. If you try to force us Catholic children to get abortions, we're going to war. Or you try to force them to go to public school and be perverted, we go to war. It's against our faith.
Right.
But this would be interesting to study, though, to find out. When I was looking at that, when they say, God save the king, and I pledge my allegiance, that's all fine. Mm-hmm. And that was good. You know, it was actually, yesterday, it was so glorious, even though they're Anglicans, because it's a shame that they, now, when you look at the, even in the Vatican, when you get the full, even now, with the anti-poop and all those bastards, when they get together in full glory, the Vatican will blow you away. That's, they still got the remnants. They still got the rituals. Of the, a lot of them. You got a woman in there that they marred this coronation with a woman. Right. They had women, a woman in there. She was never, and her breasts were shown. I want to get an axe and chop her breasts off, you know, and cauterize them. So now you can walk around showing your breasts if you want. But anyway, and so there were some things like with the women there. Go ahead.
Yeah, there was a female. Yeah. Bishop there and also there was religious differentism. There's all sorts of religions there that they were paying, getting honor to and that kind of thing. But the ceremony itself was beautiful, and it's a reminder to us that we are from one.
Here's the thing, I was saying to Sister Cutie the day that I was told about Charles, King Charles now, he's not actually a Mason, he's one of the few royals that doesn't actually, was never brought under the Masonic Brotherhood.
That could be good.
That's true or not.
That could be good, that could be good.
Masonic imagery.
You see, here's another thing. The Muslim, the Jew, the Catholics, pledging allegiance to him, because you're in England, is fine. I got no problem with that part of the ceremony.
Right.
Because I mean, even David, Daniel and Joseph would give allegiance to the Pharaoh as his ruler. So I got no problem with saying I pledge allegiance to King, King Charles. You are my ruler in England.
Right.
And that was a good part. But when he interrupt religion with it, that's a problem. If King Charles tries to say, oh, religions are equal, then he's got a problem. One thing that wasn't bad, though, they said, and you got to uphold, of course, the Anglican religion, but you have to respect, but you have to tolerate the other religions. You don't want to oppress them. There was something in there that was said, which was good. It depends on how far you go. They've gone too far already because they let Muslims become mayors. In a Catholic nation, I ain't got no Muslim being a mayor.
Yeah.
And again, not too long ago, the English would never have a Muslim being a mayor. That's bullcrap. Yeah. They have to have an Anglican, and I don't blame them. Look, if I have a Catholic nation, and I tell you, anybody in positions of authority has to be a Catholic, but then then how can I get angry for an Anglican doing the same thing? He's using logic. According to his own, he's not a hypocrite.
No.
He's being consistent with his religion. It makes things a lot easier.
If you in a Catholic country, if you let a Muslim become mayor or any other, you're automatically undercutting your whole
community.
Country believes in.
Your whole community.
Now it's not a Catholic country anymore.
Your whole community you're undermining.
What would we do if we were in Muslim? And the Muslims let us be Catholic.
Well, they did.
They
did it with Joseph and Daniel. We'll do it.
Yeah.
You let me, I'll do it.
I know.
That's why what Pharaoh did with Joseph is weird, you know, by making him a second. That was an act of God. Almost Pharaoh saying, Joseph, God's pretty good. See, they were kind of strange back then, too, because they believed that there was many gods. Right. And I was just watching, what was I reading, the Bible? Or it was like a movie, I was watching it.
Kovadis.
No, it was something about, they're gods. It was the Bible. I'm reading something about their gods are powerful. But it doesn't mean that they're... Oh, no. It was Cyrus. When he was given the decree for the Jews to go back, it was in the Bible, to rebuild the temple. And Cyrus said, their God is the God in Israel is a very powerful God. He's a powerful God amongst other gods. And I respect him. And he decreed that I should help him build the temple. Right. And he put all his efforts in building the temple. He supported the Jews. He loved the God of Israel, but only as a God among the other gods.
Didn't he do that in the Romans too?
Yeah.
Like Christ, did they put him, or they tried?
Yeah.
They put him with their other gods.
They put Christ in with the pantheon.
Yeah,
and, that's the first step. They're going, all right, he's a God amongst the other guys. Tolerated Christianity. Yeah. But
you can't take that because it's...
No, we couldn't do that. But
I know. And I'm just saying.
No, but he was... God was using Cyrus to help the Jews.
No, I know.
As an Israelite, you go, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, he's the only God. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, but I'm just telling you, he's the only God. But thank you for this anyway, you know, for helping me.
Hey, you're moving forward.
Yeah. And that's...
Well, Richard.
Yeah.
Where's the line for Brother William when he goes into politics? What oath can he not take? What can he not swear to exactly?
Okay, here's what we got. I'm going to try to get you... I'm going to give you a couple examples. And we already wrote it out. We told them. So they already know.
Right.
We have two or three different versions. The simplest is, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. That's simple. You can do that. Because it's always understood when people pledge allegiance, like King Charles and the Jews, when they pledge allegiance to a pagan king, they didn't get into the whole, except for anything against my faith, against morals, they didn't go into the whole allegiance.
Right.
It's always understood when you pledge allegiance to something, there's never blind obedience to any human ruler. So that's the simplest one. The better one is, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and all their non-simple laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That's even better, you know. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to obey her in everything, as long as it's not sinful or against my religion. We had like three of them. And the most basic one could be, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And I pledge to obey all her just laws that are not sinful. You know, and then now, you know, that's good too. But if you say, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and the Constitution for which she stands, it's the Constitution we have a problem with. Because in the Constitution, they say all men are equal, and they have other heresies in the Constitution.
Fifth Amendment, where you get please.
You can say, I pledge allegiance to the United States and all the non-sinful laws in the Constitution.
That's pretty good.
Because I already wrote about the Constitution, why we can't accept the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it's good, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of it's not bad. There's a lot of stuff in there that's okay. But the bad stuff, it's bad, and I pointed it out. It was about all men are equal, all men are not equal.
Right. And then there's... The Fifth Amendment pleading silence when if a Catholic
he
can't plead if he's
guilty. You're allowed to plead silence if it's your wife or a husband. You don't have to testify against them.
Plead the Fifth.
Yeah,
but if you're
slavery too.
Yeah, slavery and women.
Women voting. Yeah,
women voting.
Yeah, slavery and women voting.
Yeah,
yeah, and we don't support that.
No,
that's feminism.
No.
So you could even do that. I pledge allegiance to the United States and all the non-sinful laws in her Constitution.
Right.
Now, they may come up and ask you, what are they? And we say, fine.
I know. I have the pitch ready to go.
We'll lay them right out.
I know.
All right? Amendment 2, Amendment 4, Amendment 5, we don't accept those.
Yeah.
And then if they say go ahead.
I was thinking about that. Say you took the allegiance in anything that's non-sinful. Now, what if the United States goes to war with Russia? And you were saying before about you'd have to take the Russian side.
Yeah, but that's right. Then you'd. Because of the Pope, ruler. Yeah.
Yeah,
you bring that up too. When you just say a pledge of allegiance to the United States of America, it doesn't include everything. It doesn't include that neither.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things it may not include. You don't always have to say like logical, natural law things. I pledge allegiance to my ruler as long as he doesn't try to come in and rape my kids and order that I got to go around and start committing sodomy or something. You know, but that's something like a political thing where you could. We did have in one of them. You know, one of my oaths was I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, but to the Catholic Church above all. You can do that too, if they allow you to do that.
You can also change.
But in that case, you still can say I pledge allegiance to the United States.
That's why they hated Kennedy. They thought he was. The,
yeah. Like even the Jews, when they pledge allegiance to the Pharaoh, they didn't say I pledge allegiance to the Pharaoh. As long as he doesn't go to war against ABC in the future in some period of time.
Yeah.
They didn't say that.
Right. Well, can't you change your allegiance? Because Putin's lesser evil.
Right.
You're under... Putin's not here now. So
no.
You pledge allegiance to the United States.
Yeah.
Now, when Putin takes over...
You're not, in this my case, I wasn't saying pledge allegiance to him yet.
Yeah.
If he comes over and takes over, then you have to.
Right.
Which
right.
I hope he does. But until he does, you're not pledging allegiance. You're just not fighting against him.
Yeah.
And why? Because the head of my church told me.
Yeah.
My church comes first.
Yeah.
And see, there's a good example. TJ's got a good point on it, too. Here's what you should tell him. The leader of my church right now, which is Richard Joseph Michael Ibrady, whom I obey above all things because he represents God, he told me it's a sin to fight against Russia.
Yeah.
And so I pledge allegiance to you in everything but sin.
Yeah.
And he tells me that if I fight against Russia, it's a sin because because God's using it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You stay neutral.
You would be sinning.
Yeah.
How would you be sinning? By disobeying my religious ruler.
Yes.
See, that's where they got Kennedy, where...
He got stuck.
Yeah, he did. He got stuck. Well, like the Constitution's before.
Kennedy, I'm a Democrat running for... I'm not a Catholic running... Yeah, I'm a Democrat, not a Catholic first.
Yeah, right.
He said, I'm Catholic second.
Yeah.
He said, God comes second.
Because they were...
Kennedy actually said that. They pressed him. We got to get that.
Yeah. I know we have.
Remember that?
I know, yeah.
Remember that? I never put it up.
Oh, no, yeah.
Remember that? We
In Houston.
I'm not, you know, God wants us to talk about this because of the coronation yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think, because it was so sublime.
Right.
And it's still beautiful. And I'm glad it was on TV because it showed the glory of Christendom.
Right.
No, they're not true Christians, but where did they get it from?
Yeah.
Christendom.
Right.
What made them so glorious? Christendom.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it's so true. The white races are the majority of the races that brought Christianity to power, and the Israelites are white.
Yeah.
The faithful Jews, even.
Yeah.
It's not to put down other races, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, right.
And other races, you look at, they got black people that, when you're black or Spanish, and they rise up, they're equally sublime.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a race thing, but it just so happens that the majority of the white races were the ones that took to Christianity and were fervent with it. And then the other races, Spain, which basically, Spanish people are really white too, but they mix them. Just mixed people too. You can have a German that's black, he marries a black person.
Right.
So your Spanish are really considered white. If you look at your pure Spanish person, he's white too. But when they come to the United States, they mix with a racist thing. You have a dark color. You can have a Jew who's black. But my whole point on the thing is about Christianity, it was mostly propagated by the white races and embraced by them and then propagated by them.
Yeah.
And also, when you looked at that ritual the other day, and even they have a six-hour version of it I was looking at. The way their militaries, the way they're organized, the way you watch Downton Abbey, I tell you about Downton Abbey, all that, Victoria, I admire it.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's like a little bit of heaven and order on earth. God is a God of order. He's a God of beauty. He's a God of discipline. He's a God of obedience. Mm-hmm. You learn that in these things. And even, like, you haven't seen a coronation, they don't do it anymore in Europe because there's no more kings left.
Right.
That's why they want to get rid of they want to get rid of the whole symbolic monarchy in England. That's the last devil is hoping Charles III is going to throw everything overboard.
Yeah.
But then maybe Charles will get this video even. And he was like that. Charles was kind of rebellious, anti-monarchical, and all that in a lot of his ways.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes things happen to you when you put the crown on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Beckett, when you watch the movie Beckett, when he was kind of a prolificate, kind of running around a lot, and then when he became a bishop, he just converted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then he says, are you telling me, you serious? You're going to be, yeah, I'm serious. Yeah. He couldn't believe it.
What was the other one?
That could happen to Charles. Yeah.
The English king, remember, he was a Flagstaff. What was that one?
Yes.
Henry II?
What's the name of it?
Was he Henry the First or the Second?
It was
the St. Crispin, too, remember?
Yeah, but we have it on the, it's a movie.
Hollow Crown.
Hollow Crown, if you watch that, like, it's really good. That one, the big ones, is hard. The language he used, first thing, was kind of weird because I don't think people really spoke like that, but all the time, the Shakespearean English and all that.
Yeah.
But Henry II, I think, was his name, and he was like very unserious, you know.
Yeah,
and then when he became the king, it just changed him. Remember, he went after Falstaff,
I know.
And then he went against him. It was a great movie.
It is good,
especially that part when you get into. Henry I and Henry II. Richard I, he's a little faggy, and maybe he was too, so it's accurate. But you'll see how when he became king, he took it serious. The whole Netflix movie and all that, which is true, that movie is an accurate representation. It's true, even Harry said it. I don't know if you were following this, what happened?
Harry
showed up, but his wife wouldn't go. She says it falls on the day of her son's fourth birthday. I'm wait a second, and that's she don't want to show up because they're going to throw eggs at her, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but it still was disrespectful and all that. So Harry showed up, and he left right after the coronation. He got in and went right back to the United States.
Okay, yeah.
And he said to Charles, his father, go ahead.
TJ told me not to ask you this question. Right. What do you reckon? Charles was justified in having his first wife, Diana, assassinated?
No. He's bad. And he was bad. Look at him. He's committing adultery.
I know.
The guy was a rat. Yeah. See, that's the point. That's why they love Charles. Charles was like...
Diana. They love Diana, right?
I mean, Diana. But I mean...
You're talking about the bad guys.
No, the bad guys loving Charles.
Yeah. Oh,
they,
the
Freemasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why they love Charles. Because he's a slob.
Yeah.
He's a slob. He's trying to overthrow his mother. Yeah. He tried to have a coup. Yeah. Charles was, that's what I'm saying. You know what that movie was to me? It's interesting because they do present both views. But they want you to discredit the whole monarchy, so eventually, it's sort of balanced in a way, though, because they present Diana as a victim, and she really was.
Yeah.
What he did to her was brutal.
Oh, well,
first of all, what he did to her was an abomination. Yeah. You're going with, and say she was forced to go with other men because she was lonely, she had no one to go with. Now she starts going with other men because he's been messing around with her from day one. And how could his mother, who's the head of the church, allow that?
Yeah.
And you know what's great when you watch The Crown? You got to watch that series. It's really great. Because even the Church of England was strict against divorce. Right. They didn't like this. There was a big conflict there. It's kind of weird. You look at it. And divorce back then was anathema. But as you watch The Crown and it gets more later, it becomes more and more acceptable. Mm-hmm. More and more acceptable to the point where, look at, what do we got sitting on there today?
Yeah.
Camilla with him.
Yeah.
Now, that would have never happened. No. And when you watch The Crown, they even say it. It goes without saying, if you're divorced, you never raise up in England. You don't get no high office. Even if you're divorced, no matter what reason, you're done. You're political. When I grew up in the United States, it was that way. It was. When, in the 1960s and early 70s, if you were a divorcee, you don't go to politics.
I think Reagan was the first one.
He was the first one, Reagan.
The
first divorcee to become a president. Yeah, yeah. You see how we slip? Go ahead.
Shouldn't the queen...
I'm not against legitimate divorce and remarriage. Yeah. I think if it's a legitimate divorce, I think you could raise up. But there's a lot of these that are not legitimate.
Yeah.
And they were
committing
adultery. Go ahead.
Shouldn't the Queen Elizabeth, when she was...
Excommunicate him.
And ban him from being king.
Yeah.
And make the next guy...
That's right, yes. Because you're breaking the laws of God.
Yeah.
You don't even eat with people like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Brother Rich, exactly how it was here in Ireland back in like the 70s, 60s, 70s. If someone was divorced, they were shunned. They were just like, that was an abomination. Mm-hmm. You just didn't speak to them. They just... You know, you're supposed to stick with your marriage no matter what, and blah, 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 and they were just shunned by society.
Absolutely, even when I grew up, if you knew, like, there was a person was divorced, mm-hmm. and they were living in a certain house, we would cross the street, and we wouldn't even walk in front of their house.
Right.
As kids. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying, if you are legitimately divorced for a good reason, like, okay, let's say, in Charles' case, she had a case, but, so a divorce should have been given. But he gets condemned. He can never get married again.
Right.
Not only is he not married to this Camilla,
forget
about it, he can never marry anyone again in his whole lifetime. She could, not him. Because he's the instigator of the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
He's the adulterer. He's the one that was unfaithful to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she would be able to go out and get married legitimately and have a good face and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not never him again.
Mm-hmm.
The one who commits adultery, you either go back with your wife and reconcile with her because she's... Or if you do get the divorce and you're not going to reconcile, we're going to give you a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
She can get remarried. You can't for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a legitimate divorce in which somebody who is divorced could be looked upon with favor. So but we're talking about people here who are divorced in situations where they were committing adultery, or something's wrong. You're looking upon this person. Even if a girl had a bad reputation like a prostitute or a whore, you wouldn't even go by her house. You'd walk around her house. But when you're looking at all these things and in The Crown, this is good we're talking about this. I think God wants this because of what happened yesterday in the coronation.
Well, it's helping me because I have political aspirations, like they try to run for something.
Oh, you're right.
I got to know how to handle it as far as what
I can. Now, getting from Harry's perspective, I understand the moment he married is a whore and a witch.
Yeah.
He really blew it. And he's disrespectful to the hierarchy.
Yeah.
But he has some type of a case of how they treated his mother.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah.
They treated your mother badly and all that. You don't got to marry a whore or witch bitch.
Right.
And you don't got to like start undermining the whole hierarchy.
Yeah.
There are certain things that you have to try to keep within the family if you could.
Right.
Because there's a scandal out in public isn't going to help anybody. But so he does have some kind of an argument. But what he said was, he said to his father, Charles, he says, I'm not going to ever reconcile with you again until you watch the Netflix movie.
He said that?
Yeah, well. And he put a new book out called Harry. I forget the name of the book. It's just one word. Uh-huh. He goes, and he wants him to read his book.
Yeah.
Because it exposes.
Yeah, right.
He wants his mother to be.
In a good light. Right. Exactly.
So and that's what he told Charles. And so so what happened when you saw this thing? You'll see him. He showed up for the coronation.
Yeah.
And they said, right after he left the car, there was a car right outside. Uh-huh. He got in the car, went to the airport, and drove back home.
Yeah.
So and they invited him to dinner and all that.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I'm not going. So there's some. He's not all wrong.
Right.
But you don't got to marry a whore this witch bitch. And she was married too.
I know.
I don't know if she even had a legitimate divorce or anything. Yeah. This woman is like he went too far, but he has some legitimate complaints. And so the point, what I see happening here is Charles, when I say they loved him, I'm talking about the people that hated monarchy.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And watch the movie. The movie, they expected him when he comes to power to throw off the kingship and accept some lower title as a prince or... because, you know, in England, it's been going that way. First, the king had full power. Then he had to work with the Senate and the Congress and had equal power. Right. Then he had, now he only has symbolic power. And now they don't even want to have the title anymore.
Right.
They don't even want the symbolic power. And they're banking their money on Charles III. Now, he can go either way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. The same day he's coordinated, you're over there marching in a parade in your car. You know, it's the first time you're out there in public. Us.
I know.
That represents all of us.
Yeah, I know exactly.
You know,
right.
And you're out there, he's over there. But my point with him is he can go two ways.
Right.
And it's disgusting that he... And then here's what makes it worse, okay? She's queen consort on top of it.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what happened.
I know.
And you know what they said? The young kids are really angry at Charles because
they're watching the Netflix.
They didn't know. They weren't around in the time of Diana.
Yeah.
The Netflix brought it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my there's two. But when you watch the Netflix thing, you really got to watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, historically, and they do.
That is pretty bad.
They balance it, though. It's not all one side.
No, it is.
And, but you see them trying to lean, like House of Cards was Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. You see them trying to move towards the destruction of hierarchy, but you also see the monarchists that want to preserve monarchy. And you get this battle that's going on, and Charles is a rebel.
Yeah.
He was anti-monarchical, tried to overthrow his mother. And so he is the hope of them.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see, now that he's got the crown on, what he's going to do. My hope is, now that the crown's on his head, that he has a different heart. And even though, because God does, it says God makes all rulers.
Yeah.
Remember Jesus said to Caesar, you would not be your ruler if God didn't give you the authority.
Yeah.
Charles, you would
be. Romans 13, when you have to submit to your authority.
Because God, all authority comes from God.
Exactly.
So when something happens, you know, and I'm hoping that he doesn't do what the bad guys want, the really bad guys want, to overthrow the monarchy altogether. Yeah. I hope he flips and he does something actually good.
That's kind of interesting because they're asking him, are you promised to uphold all the laws of the church?
Yeah.
It's like a confession.
And you're breaking them, too.
Yeah, yeah.
How's he going to uphold the laws of the church? I mean, that's a lot of people do that. Even good Catholics, you can have bad Catholics that commit mortal sins.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a ruler, but
it could be a new thing for him. Like
for him, he could
start
a flip in his life. You know, it's okay for see. Back when England was forcing people to do things against their faith, that caused troubles, and people knew that. You know, when you do that, you you're gonna have trouble. But when England wasn't doing that, you have to submit to them, and. Even if they're disrespectful to you, as long as they're not forcing you to do something. Of course, if I'm living in a total Anglican, as I said, the United States would have been better off totally Anglican.
Yeah.
And say, you Catholics, okay, I'm going to do what they did with the Indians. We're going to give you a ghetto.
Right.
And you can have your own laws in your ghetto. I'd rather have had that than what we have today.
Yeah.
What we have today is a mush-mush, a mish-mash. Yeah. Everything got mushed together. We're all equal. Everything's the same. Nothing matters. No one's convicted at all. If I was living in an Anglican United States, I know that we're not the same.
Yeah.
It's clear. It's out there. We're different. We believe in different things. You can't be saved. I say you can't be saved. Fine. I like it. Good. I understand. There's a line. Here's my way, and here's where you are. And I will obey you in all things except sin. As long as you treat us fairly and justly and nothing sinful, fine.
No.
Give me my ghetto. I'm happy. Much better than what we have here today. Which everything, mish, mush, mish, mosh.
Well, it's funny, cause the other night when I was talking to that kid, You mean to tell me all the Catholics are saved?
Yes, I am.
Oh, Will's got... Will, I know if we're going to get to it now today. But I want Will to tell us, but maybe we'll come back tomorrow night even just for this. I don't care. I will.
Yeah.
Because you got to tell him. Well, why'd you see what Will did on Seventh Week Night? He was unbelievable.
Man,
he gets like... He gets... 4 stars out of 100.
4 out of 100.
No, he gets 5 stars out of 5. He gets 5 stars out of 2. Wow. Man, I wish he recorded what he told me on the phone when he called me. Did he give them it? Crystal Diamond was there.
Bette Hurl.
Yeah, Bette Hurl was there.
And then this guy.
The one guy that headed the Republican Party, knows Ryan Cotty, and was organizing his campaign.
Yep.
And Will just laid it out, man. It was like,
yeah.
That's what I want. But I think we're going to, maybe we will come back tomorrow night or something. I don't know if we'll have time today.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the coronation
Tomorrow
because it's important. Right. And that this is, I don't want you to, I told Will, don't forget what you're saying, man. Because
somebody
you
pray that I do it in chronological order. That's what I think of it.
Man.
I know it, but I sometimes.
Man, was God with him. I know he's like that. Anyway. He doesn't think he's like that, but I know he's like that. I know more about him than he does.
I know, huh? I got to go to you now.
Sometimes someone can see something in you that you don't see in yourself.
Yeah.
Like a conviction. If you poke him the wrong way on a truth, he'll go at you. And politely, but it'll go at you.
Right.
But anyway, that's what happened on the 7th. It was really powerful. But getting back to what we're talking about on the coronation with Charles, this is very interesting on what's up front. Now, it can go two ways. Mm-hmm. God could use... Now, here's the other thing. God could kill Charles and put... I think his son's a little better.
William,
if you look at him.
Yeah.
He's not a playboy.
Yeah.
Him and, I like his wife.
Kate,
if you look at Kate and you look at him, they... Yeah. On the natural plane, they look like good husband and wife. They go. He's not good. They're Anglicans, okay? So don't get me wrong. Yeah. And he was on he supports homos. Right. They all do. So forget that. You're not going to get all the boxes checked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not even with Trump.
No.
But looking at the natural plane, William and Kate, they definitely look like the very regal, and they look very much worthy, more than him.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'd rather put him and her on the throne than his father and the whore.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, a lot of people, when you look at her too, you can see she was a little uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what am I doing with this crown on my head? I was cheating on my husband. You got to watch the crown, how ugly it is.
I know.
I mean, he would call her up at the house with her husband there. Her husband would answer the phone.
I know.
And he says, is Camille in here? This is Charles. Okay, let me go get him. But then eventually he couldn't take it anymore when he got out in public.
When Diana gave her interview,
then
he said it is well done. It is so well done.
See, but I think God preserved the English monarchy for a reason.
Yeah.
And I'll say one thing. There's some things they definitely do better than the nominal Catholics. You look at their choirs. You look at the choir boys, the girls. Their faces. There's something not as corrupted about them as purple hair and rings in your nose and butch haircuts and all that.
Yeah.
Some of these kids are still raised.
Right.
Some of these kids, at least, that were in the choir and the beautiful music. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's all Christendom.
Right.
That came from Christianity, and they kept it. And in many ways, they were probably less evil than some of the nominal Catholic anti-popes here. They were still evil, but not as bad. They had their statue problems too, though. I'm not saying they're perfect.
They almost look like Catholics. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, it is. The ritual to me, when you heard them about, you know, you have the sword, use the sword to defend God's people, to help justice and fight. I mean, it was like powerful, you know. This sword is meant to protect, defend, to guard, to fight. To kill for, and I will die for you. I give my allegiance to you. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally beautiful. It's like you're in another world. Yeah. And I was thinking, people, when they look at this, young kids even, they can get it. I think you're going to get some kids converted to monarchy, to obedience, to allegiance. Go ahead.
Imagine with the Jews. That's why the Jews hate us. So they hate Christ. They hate any resemblance of Christianity. So now,
they hated this. He says you are the holder of Jesus Christ and his laws on earth. He's the one God. They're invoking the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
I thought the Jews were pulling their hair out watching his coronation.
Yeah.
Really, if you're like, I can see the Jews and Freemasons going nuts, especially the Jews. They're looking at this thing and the Muslims, and they're going, whoa, they're pulling. The Muslims know, expect it. They know it.
Yeah.
The Jews, they try to play the game, you know.
Yeah.
But invoking Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity was throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's the one God. He's the God Almighty. He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And you have to uphold God's law and all this stuff. And then the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on there yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to give a lot of kids who never saw this, and the Jews were pulling their hair out over this, you know, and they're hoping this is the last time this ever happens. And Charles throws the whole thing overboard, because that's what they're trying to do. No. They're trying to get rid of the pomp and circumstance, which right. is, the church should be pomp.
Yes.
You look at the Vatican when she's in full glory, even now. That's more glorious than even you saw yesterday. Yeah. Even now, when you look at these bastards on Resurrection Day or something, they have all the cardinals yeah. dressed up, and they got the choir singing and yeah. all that. Yeah. It's sublime.
Yeah.
Our Gregorian chant, yeah. even the Eastern Church, it's all a little piece of heaven on earth as far as the rituals
right.
are concerned.
Right.
The order, the glory, the beauty is there. And so a lot of these young yeah. kids that never saw that, I'm going to guarantee they can get enamored by it.
Yeah.
Some of these kids are going to look at this, and because this was the first coronation in 70 years, because yeah. she was there first. And they did it up.
Yeah.
And I admire the discipline and the order of the English. Yeah. And it's not just the English, though. It's it was all Europe was like that, the yeah. Germans, the Italians. The French, the Spanish, yeah. you look at their, they all have their,
yeah.
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Only England is the last one left when it comes to monarchy.
Right.
I mean, I think I don't even think you have any Catholic monarchs. I think they're living in exile or something. They might not, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know what I mean, they got one guy that
horrified France, the one that World War II.
The last one, he says, they've got Franz Joseph.
Franz Joseph, right.
They got rid of him,
right.
you know, and I don't think, you don't. All your European, there's no monarchies.
No.
England's the last one.
Yeah,
you have Muslim imams.
Right. Imams, yeah.
Which is, I respect that too.
Right.
You go look at them. That's normal.
Yeah, the political leaders go to them to
yeah.
for advice.
It's a theocracy.
Yeah. Rand, they kind of.
You, I admire that.
Counsel.
I admire their leadership and
yeah.
order. Okay. I mean, he's a Muslim. What do you want? What do you want? You expect to not be? I'd rather have a Muslim be honest with me as far as religion. Now, we're the only true religion. We're ruling, and not this. We're all the same.
Exactly.
We worship the same God. We can all be saved. There's no difference between us.
Right.
Let's all sit together and have this mush schizophrenic God. He's a cyclops with 20,000 heads and beliefs.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
That is. Total.
But what we looked at yesterday, to me, was a beautiful thing. Still, nevertheless, mm-hmm. and because the music is so beautiful too. When you look at the choir. And they still look. Here's another thing. These Anglican, I know they let allow marriage. I think some priests should be allowed to get married. By the way, you should. Not everybody. If you don't want to get married, you don't get married. The apostles were married. You got a problem with the tough. That's your problem. If you want to get married, I have to check.
But remember, the bishop only one wife.
One wife, yeah, and kids.
Exactly.
So I'm not the celibacy. The Stoics did a lot of damage.
Yeah.
They started a lot of crap in the church.
Yeah.
I was looking at Augustine again because of Monica,
right.
about the man of Cains.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole material world is evil.
Yeah.
It's crooked. Everything's evil.
Yeah.
They're Stoics to the highest degree.
Yeah.
If you want, he says, to become the elect, you have to become pure light.
I know.
You have to give up everything physical, material. You can't have a wife, can't have celibacy and all this.
Have a decryptor and
they
don't want you to take it.
The only reason I'm saying that is just to show the beauty of it, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you're going back in time. And the words, because they were using the proper words of ordination for kingship and coronation.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like King Saul and like Samuel when he anointed Saul and he put
right.
the... I mean, you got... It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's sublime.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so yesterday he had a little bit of taste of that. People who haven't seen that in years.
Yeah.
And the devil was going nuts just watching that.
I know, yeah.
And the Jews just hearing Jesus Christ's name over and over again. But... But you're making good points about stuff about allegiances and all that. Yeah,
right.
You give allegiance. God save the king. Yeah, God save the king. You can sing. You better sing that.
Mm-hmm.
God tells you to do that. Even non-Catholic, you got to submit to your non-Catholic rulers, and you got to obey them in all things but sin. St. Paul says it. Christ said it. All the Jews did it in the Old Testament when they were in exile. And God put them under the yoke of foreign kings. You could pray to get rid of a foreign king if he's stripped over you, but you still got to obey him. So God delivers you by either sending in an army to knock him out, you know, or starting an army yourself if the guy's doing something to cause you to sin or go against your religious beliefs. If not, you got to accept them. And that's why when you got to look at a lot of these Irish and these people, and what is your reason for going against England? You know, because naturally you want to have your, but you're not worthy of having your nation. God allowed the English to come in and kick your butt.
Mm-hmm.
Your question should be why. Mm-hmm. We know why. We see how we lived. Nominal Catholics for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got worse and worse and worse. You think you deserve to have your own nation? God was punishing you with the English. If you accept their yoke, You can save your soul as a good Irishman under the yoke of the Englishman. And then if nationalism can also make you hate the English as a race, it becomes a racial thing. Then you just hate Englishmen. You could just meet an English kid in the street and just want to kick his shit out of him, and you don't even know who the kid is.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know you, and you just want to kill all Englishmen. You know, you start hating the race, and that gets bad.
Right. Yeah.
Then sometimes maybe the IRA goes in and blows up people for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. I understand if they are going to war, then you could blow people up. I'm not against that, like the Palestinians against the Jews. If they're doing something, or they're trying to threaten your life, you can have self-defense. So I'm not against that in all cases. My reason is, why are you doing it?
I knew
some Irish friends that I grew up. This is true. I tell you the story many times. But the Irish hated the Italians. It's kind of weird. It was a love-hate thing, because a lot of times they marry an Italian.
I know. They
call it Gaelic and garlic. One of my Italian friends married an Irish girl, and it happens a lot. You know, they call it Gaelic. The Italians, they won't say, like, they love all races. It's weird. They can say, I'm great. They do. Italians are very proud. Italians, you kiss me, I'm Italian, I'm great. And they can say, oh, those Irishmen. They might maybe make a negative comment about them or something, but they really like them.
Yeah.
The Irish, I mean, the ones I knew, some of them, not all of them, they hated the Italians, man. It was like every Italian was a dirtball, no matter what. It was weird. I went, like, all Italians?
I like
what that? Well, I mean, you hate all Italian? That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
The Irish. And maybe there's Irishmen that think that way about the English. Now it's racial.
Yeah.
Now we went from being a political thing, even, or a religious thing, into a racial thing. And then it becomes dangerous. You can be angry at Englishmen that are your mortal enemies that are really causing you trouble. You can even kill them. But the whole race? And then you have to have the right reasons, too. You have to have the right reasons. A lot of times the Italian guys, because they were handsome, they would get a lot of girls, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they were more handsome, or they were more suave, you know, and they didn't, maybe they weren't, yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Suave.
Yeah, it's more suave. And so they would be, there's a little jealousy there, you know. But there's a lot of that that goes on,
right.
Too. Yeah. But, you know, that's like with a lesson to people. And especially like we talk so much about nationalism and all that, you know. If your nationalism is not based, and that's where our religion keeps a balanced head on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Think about if there was no religion and there was no God, everything is pure nationalistic. There would be ever-ending conflicts.
Right.
And there would be, and God even about God, because there is a God, and he always intervenes. And even on the natural plane, even if you don't know the true God, a lot of your pagan kings understood that when you take, and they all tell you this, in Persia, he had like a big empire. You want to rule a big empire, you cannot oppress your people under you that aren't of your same religion. You have to at least allow them freedom for their own religion in secret or in private. But the minute you start touching their religious beliefs and trying to force them to go against it, that's when all hell breaks loose. And you're not going to be a beneficent or even a justified king, and you're going to have trouble in your empire. I mean, really, it's like... go ahead.
Robert, no, we were just talking with TJ there earlier. There's so much a person can take you. Like, there's so much you're not going to deny. You know what I mean? Look, you have beliefs, intrinsic beliefs, that you will not give up, no matter what, you know? And the beliefs that you will basically die for, you know?
And those beliefs
it doesn't matter about oaths and all the rest of it, if someone tries to impose on you something that you intrinsically, your whole system goes against,
then it's war. It's war. And we're talking about faith now, not race. Just faith.
The only
thing that can be that important is faith, not race.
Yeah.
Not race is not that
faith
important.
Morals.
It's in the scripture, not blood, not race, but by faith.
Yeah, right.
Faith and morals, that's the key.
Faith and morals.
If race is in you, you got a problem.
Yeah.
You're going to have trouble because, you know, think about the two. It's just pure race.
It's retarded.
You know, but then, what, just because you're Irish, you're great? Just because of that, you have a DNA of an Irishman, and that makes you great? Not God created you in your faith?
That's
so
like the Jews.
That's what I know. If you push someone against their intrinsic beliefs, which is faith and morals, then we go to war, even us.
Right.
That's when you do go to war.
Yeah.
You know, then we start sneaking around. Even now, we're getting ready for that. We're at war already, believe me. They're already banning us and all that. So then we're getting ready for war.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to force us to do something against our faith or our morals. Right. And and guess what? That's the stuff that gets me the angriest, mm-hmm. like, especially sins against the faith. Mm-hmm. Even against morals, yeah. But if you're repentant, fine. If you're mm-hmm. obstinate, that gets me angry too. Then mm-hmm. you got to leave to become better. But faith. So, I mean, so that's a good ruler. Even pagan rulers knew this. Pharaoh knew it. Now, when you get a bad Pharaoh and it's not just faith and moral. It is faith and morals, but also self-defense. So if you get a ruler that's taking away your food and he's starving you to death, and you can't even live physically, then you can fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he's putting you at the point where he's starving you to death and he's purposely killing you, then that's another example for war.
Yeah, right.
That's a natural law, self-defense. Self-defense, faith, and morals. But other than that, even if you're not living high in a hog, you're kind of in your poverty, but you're living and you're allowed to practice your religion, and you have to obey your king. You've got to obey your king. And you have to give him allegiance, pledge allegiance to him. You know, and a lot when the Jews had a bad king, they would still pray for him, but sometimes they would pray for God to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, either convert him, not necessarily even convert him, either change his heart to treat us righteous the right way, or kill him and get rid of him and put in another king.
Mm-hmm.
And when they would get a good king that allowed them, they would like, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, the rules for martyrdom, what is justified martyrdom and what is not, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, where is the rules for martyrdom?
Exactly. If you're going to die for your race, that's not martyrdom.
Yeah.
That's not martyrdom.
No.
You're not a martyr. You're, like nationalistic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to die for my race. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, you could die for your race and still be a good Catholic and there's on some other kind of a fight or something, but you're not going to be a martyr. Right? The only way you're a martyr is if you're dying for the Catholic faith.
Right.
Everything has to be rooted in your reason for dying is something because of the Catholic faith mm-hmm. that you were upholding.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just a nationalistic person and all you care about is and the faith comes second and you're standing up for Irish nationalism and you're going on a strike or someone kills you for Irish nationalism, it ain't going to get you nowhere. You're going straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You're fighting for the devil. You're not fighting for any righteous mm-hmm. cause. You're not a martyr. Mm-hmm. You know, a Muslim can't be a martyr because he's fighting for a false god.
Mm-hmm.
Only Catholics can really be martyrs.
And
dying because of something you did related to the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can say this with a lot of your IRA people today. Earlier on, yes, maybe.
Yeah.
But today, I don't know. From the Irish brothers are telling me, and from what I see in my life, even when I grew up, none of us were, come on, you know. None of us were really Catholic, you know, in my own neighborhood. We had Germans, Irish, mostly Italians. Second to that, Irish. We had Poles, we had Germans. And none of us were really like, I mean, our Catholic religion was racial.
Oh, totally.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
They just had a report, I forget what country and who, this guy that was on a hunger strike just died.
Hunger strike,
He's got to be in hell. I mean, that's just killing yourself. Might have believed in something
Really. But anyway, going back to what we're saying here with the allegiances and all that, this is something we spoke about before, but it's good we're talking about it now because it showed a lot of, there's nothing wrong with even, if I was over there and I was living in England and I was the Catholic ruler in England, I would even have to go and give my allegiance to him. Did you look at Augustine when Ambrose went into the queen?
Yeah.
And he, queen mother. And he bowed down to her. She was an Arian heretic.
Right. Yeah.
And Ambrose went in and went, Queen Mother.
Right.
And he would bow down to her.
Yeah.
Because she was the secular ruler God put over Ambrose.
Right, right.
Yeah. He says, Queen Mother.
Right.
I give my allegiance to you.
You can't enter.
Bishop Ambrose, we don't remember inviting you.
I'm grateful for your intervention. Forgive me for disturbing you. Empress Mother. Emperor.
And he was the supreme ruler of the Catholic Church. But you saw the conflicts that were going on in there. When Augustine came in and said that the hurt has power over the Catholic churches even. That's when the conflict started.
Yeah.
when they try to close down the Catholic churches. Yeah. And remember Ambrose said, you can attack me, you're not my thing, you know. Exactly. You're fighting against God if you're attacking me. Mm-hmm. Then it became, then they were trying to force them out of their churches.
Right.
And then and they went in and killed them, and there was a conflict. Right. That, but it actually backfired on them because the people, Augustine came up and gave that speech, right. And he sort of turned it around.
Right.
But, so even people giving allegiance to Charles yesterday is fine, as long as you don't involve some type of a religious allegiance, mm-hmm. you know. I'm giving you allegiance as king of the empire. Not as head of the church. And they wouldn't expect that. Right. Not, no Jew is going to go. You got to go up and... You think a Jew is going to... Now, they could, a Jew could do it. I'm wrong. He could do it because he can lie. He takes a whole Nidri prayer and he can make like he's an Anglican. Right. But he's not. They're not going to ask the Muslim to come up and say, I recognize... you can recognize him as the head of the Church of England. You can recognize... I recognize him.
Right.
But you can't obey. You can't obey that church. Mm-hmm. I submit to you as the head of the church. Right. They're not going to ask a Muslim to do that. What they do, though, is sort of like we're all saying, though. You know, there's that kind of stuff. But he did say, I'm going to uphold the rights of everybody in my realm. He was mushy kind of in that.
Uh-huh.
You do have to uphold the justice in your realm. Mm-hmm. You can't force other people to be Anglicans.
Right.
But they go too far. Like I said, they got Muslim mayors.
Yeah.
They got
yeah.
different religions. Yeah. But they still have in the higher... You got to be an Anglican, still now even.
Well, Diana had to convert.
She had to convert.
She was a
even Prince Philip II. He was
Orthodox,
a Greek.
Orthodox.
He was an Orthodox Greek, a Greek, and they were fighting with the Nazis and all that.
Right.
And when he had to convert to Anglicanism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he always said, "Oh, I was always Greek in my heart."
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
If you watch The Crown, you'll see it.
Yeah.
Where he goes in when he goes back to visit Russia, he goes to Russia. He goes into the churches and he sees the beauty because it is beautiful.
Right.
And you look, and he's looking at it and he's saying, "Well, you forced me to change my religion. I had to change my religion." He said, "She goes, well, you can keep it in your heart, kind of, but you have to at least exteriorly be an Anglican."
Right.
But which is stupid too. Anyway. Yeah. Well, I mean, but I understand them protecting.
Right.
Once you let Jews get to power. What happens there? Apostate Jews and Catholic nations?
Yeah.
The first thing was that the French Revolution,
yeah.
when they promised religious rights to everybody to move up high in Catholic states. Because
yeah.
once you get a Jew in the higher positions of the government,
exactly.
it's all over.
Right.
He's making laws now. You get Muslims coming in, they're voting.
Yeah.
It's all over. It's gone. You're done. The Catholic state can never allow anybody other than Catholics to be ruling the empire.
Yeah.
Never. And so the Anglicans were like that not so long ago. And the Irish have to sit back and say, when they came into your country, get angry if they like the tithe law.
Right.
But if they're not doing the tithe law, obey them.
Yeah.
Be nice to
them.
Love them. Be nice to them. And you find out, when you be nice to people, even your vicious rulers, you can turn their heart.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot start doing that. So I bet you there were some Irishmen they could consider traitors for being friendly with the English. That's what I'm getting at. And you said, why are you angry? I read this in T.D.'s book. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were angry with some of these Catholic Irishmen and the leaders that were saying, hey, God put them in here. We have to work with them. We have to be friendly. Some of the hardcore nationalists were angry at these other Catholics for being friendly with the Irish.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you want me to do? God put them here. According to God's decree, I got to obey them and be nice to them.
Right.
You got to love your enemies even. And being nice to them that's how we got our little favors. I don't want my little favors from him. I want them out altogether. And you can see the fights going on. And then the other guys would rightly say, well, you're not doing what God tells you to do by submitting to the yoke.
Yeah.
And and you cannot fight against them unless you're trying to make you do something sinful or against the faith. And in this case, you're not going to get them kicked out by killing these people and rebelling against them because God put them over you. You got to pray that God delivers you if you want. We can all pray that we have an Ireland again, but not the way you guys want it. And you are the very guys why we don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at, I don't want to mention his name, we've seen these people that were nationalists, mm-hmm. didn't want to pay tithes to me.
Yeah.
But they're giving to the church, but they're giving tithes to the nationalistic movement.
Yeah.
So what you tell me.
Yeah.
You tell me.
Exactly.
I'd rather have an Englishman who's honest to his own religion, pays tithes to his own church, and says, my Anglican religion comes before my Englishness, than this so-called Catholic that puts his nationalism above Catholicism. It's a mess.
It is.
You know, I'm glad I have it on my list, too. That wasn't my big... It was so glorious. It was beautiful. I admire it. I watch Victoria. I watch Downton Abbey. I admire it.
Mm-hmm.
I admire that society, and I miss it. Okay? Because, okay, I mean... We're so far from that type of living. Yeah, they weren't true Christians, but they were a lot less evil than we are today. And but you look at the remnants, you look at what Christianity produced. Mm-hmm. You know, look what they produced when they built Solomon's temple. Mm-hmm. The Vatican is beautiful, but they desecrated it. It doesn't make it any less beautiful, the part that's beautiful, the part that's the glory of God. I mean, you can see the hand of God in all his glory. It's like a little bit of heaven on earth. And people do, you see, it's really good. They did say, in one of these movies, Crown of Victoria, they said, you know, the people need a little bit of heaven on earth. They need something to look towards, mm-hmm. like us, the monarchy, as a higher ideal. And they can feel like we can invite them, in a sense, into our the glory of God's home. It makes people feel of their monarchy or of their mm-hmm. the glory. And it makes them, and it's true. I mean, you look at it, it's glorious. Who cannot look at that mm-hmm. and be, unless you're like a stoic, mm-hmm. and you don't like to look at things or hear things. And it was everything. It was the music, it was the words, it was the liturgy. It was beautiful. I think God used that I mean, I'm sure he did. I mean, they were mentioning Christ, and I said, the Jews are going nuts. it's sort of like Bell's Passion movie,
yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they're going, you're the
yeah.
sword, you have the one,
yeah.
you got it, you got to uphold the laws of Jesus Christ.
Oh, I was watching a little bit of that.
The King, they're saying Christ the King, they were singing?
Diane. Oh,
wow. All right. So, all right, let's see. Let's end this for now. I think yeah. we said enough. And because the reason I want to download is because I want to have a record of its glory, how glorious it
right,
is.
Right, right.
Because, you know, when Antichrist comes to power, you're not going to be able to look at that
yeah.
stuff. I want to show people.
Yeah.
I mean, because when it was that glorious, too, in Europe, too.
Right.
But they didn't have video cameras back then. Right. You have paintings, you have pictures.
Right.
You know, since you have video cameras,
yeah.
very
rare. This is
rare.
The first coronation in the
even Hitler's Germany.
Right.
Sublime.
Yeah.
You look at Hitler's Germany when we gathered together the people, how
yeah.
orderly they
yeah.
Wow, you want to talk about order?
Right.
And they had a plain different way of order, the mm-hmm. Germans. Precise. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, so.
I did notice one thing, you know, like, did you look at that gold chariot that they rode in?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you look at what they all had on that?
What was it, Pooties?
Naked bodies.
Oh, yeah. It's disgusting. I saw some naked pictures, too, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they got desecrations, yeah. And they got them, I saw a couple naked, bare-breasted women in out in public, you know, by
yeah.
fountain.
Mm-hmm.
And they got some false gods, too, I think. You look at the movie Crown, and we had to edit stuff. They got their desecrations,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth I was an astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
So they also, it wasn't as bad as maybe Europe or Vatican, but they have their desecrations, too.
Right.
So they're not, they're bad, too. I mean, they took their places and desecrated them.
Right.
The Anglicans, too. I seen at least a couple, if we ever got that thing, we have to edit it. But even in the Crown, Ryan was telling me there's a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
We missed one the other
night.
Right
in their living room, right above
yeah.
their TV.
Yeah, and remember the one with the archives talking about
yeah,
the
yeah.
pagan gods?
Yeah, yeah.
Elizabeth I there, and the guy's teaching her art.
Right.
And of course... Philip didn't like any of this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't like it. He says,
yeah, yeah.
"You made a good comment. It was a good comment. Like, I don't know any of this stuff. It was this crazy guy or something." Like,
yeah.
But they had like false gods.
Yeah.
And Otis is so and so and so.
Yeah.
So they were into that too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were doing that also. That mythology thing really mixed its way in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.